wanted to see what things look like when there's actual production going on, when there's folks reading the news. You can look into the porthole, see what's going on. You can stop into the back room, have a bite to eat, have a donut, have a cup of coffee, and meet some of
the
folks.
Do it now.
We're all
call
too happy to see you. So 20 Southeast 8th Avenue is the address, or you can call
877-500-5266. We're just about ready to go to local news, to KBOO Evening News, so keep it tuned here to KBOO Portland.
You are listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM Portland, 91.9 FM Hood River and the Gorge, 104.3 FM Philomath and Corvallis. Up next, the Evening News.
You've probably heard of them. The three Americans hiking in Iraqi Kurdistan, arrested by Iranian guards when they ventured near the border. An over two-year imprisonment in Iran followed, much of it in solitary confinement. Now, Joshua Fatal, Shane Bauer, and Sarah Shord have turned their experience into a riveting memoir and a powerful indictment of solitary confinement. Tune in to a deeper look when Josh Fatal joins me, Linda Olsen Osterlund, to talk about their new book, A Sliver of Light, Three Americans Imprisoned in Iran. That's a deeper look. Thursday, May 8th at 9:30 a.m. right here on KBOO.
This KBOO program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Portland's Gay Yellow Pages, providing a resource guide of openly gay-friendly businesses, organizations, and services since 1996. New smartphone app available for all iPhones and Droids. For more information, you can visit pdxgyp.com.
This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Mobilizing Local Culture, University of Oregon Arts Management Workshop in Portland, June 23rd through the 28th, showcasing the ways in which local culture mobilized to make a difference in neighborhoods across the city. More info at aad.u, oregon.edu/summerintensive.
And now, your daily volunteer-produced community newscast, the KBOO Evening News.
Coming up on our hour-long membership drive special of the KBOO News. Protesters gathered at the foot of Mount Hood today to challenge the plan to clear-cut large parts of the forest.
We'll get a full report on today's city council meeting in Portland, including items on disabled parking downtown and a proposed fiber optic network run by Google.
The FBI launches an investigation into the Cover Oregon debacle that cost the state hundreds of millions of dollars.
Good evening. This is the KBOO Evening News for Wednesday, May 7th, 2014. KBOO is currently in our membership drive, and we'd like to urge you to become a member right now by calling 877-500-5266. I'm Brian Pritchett.
And I'm Aaron J. Bernard. The controversial Jazz timber sale in the Mount Hood National Forest continues to draw opposition from local activists. Today, the forest watchdog group BARC rallied at the forest headquarters in Sandy. KBOO's Paul Rowland was there and has this report.
In July 2013, BARC filed a lawsuit challenging the Forest Service on the Jazz timber sale in the Clackamas Ranger District. BARC's lawsuit alleges that the Forest Service did not comply with the National Environmental Policy Act and the National Forest Management Act in its decision to log this geologically unstable watershed. Despite active litigation, the Forest Service proceeded with entering into contracts with the Canadian timber giant Interfor to log parts of the sale. Just last month, Federal District Judge Marco Hernandez dismissed BARC's factual and legal challenges, deferring to the Forest Service's claims that the sale is legal and allowing logging to continue. Early this afternoon, around 75 BARC members and supporters rallied at the Mount Hood Forest headquarters in Sandy, where BARC Director Alex Brown and attorney Brenna Bell addressed the crowd. They delivered a letter signed by several environmental groups to Forest Supervisor Lisa Northrup, requesting the withdrawal of the timber sale, announced an appeal to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, and pledged to take the fight to the woods this summer.
I think this is a question BARC has had a lot in the past couple of weeks. They're like, people are upset. We thought you lost. We thought you lost the Jazz Timber Sale. Why are you doing a rally? And I was remembering the last time I was here in front of the Forest Service. I've been thinking a lot about the Eagle Creek Timber Sale. That's the last time I was here in front of the Forest Service. Because you know what? We started fighting the Eagle Creek Timber Sale after the decision notice was signed. We started fighting it after the timber contracts were already sold. We started fighting it after logging had begun. And do you know what? After 6 years, what happened with Eagle?
We won!
We won! We won! And so we are in a bit of that time now. We have been fighting this timber sale. We're in a different stead. We've been fighting Jazz for almost 4 years. Do you know whose terms we've been fighting on so far? The Forest Service's terms. We went out there and BARF volunteers spent hundreds and hundreds of hours gathering information. We gave it to the Forest Service in comments. We appealed this timber sale. We even sued on this timber sale, and every step of the way, the door shut in our face. We've been fighting the sale on their terms, and according to them, we have lost. But now, we are turning that game over, and we are fighting it on our terms. We are coming to the Forest Service. We are going to the forest. We are letting them know that this is just the start of phase two in fighting Jazz. We're just shifting tactics.
Real restoration removes roads!
When we received our ruling from the District Court of Oregon last month, and we learned that the judge had deferred entirely to the Forest Service's environmental assessment, I've been to this forest, I've seen what it is on the ground, and I can say with my own eyes, I've seen that these facts have been misrepresented and that what was presented to the judge is not what's happening in the on the ground. I thought when we first got this ruling that my reaction was going to be one of sadness. I've been to this place, it's a very special place. I don't know how many of you have been there. And on paper, the Forest Service in its Northwest Forest Plan identifies the Kalawash River as being a very special place. It's designated as a Tier 1 key watershed, specifically designated for the restoration of threatened salmon species. And even on paper, the Forest Service's guiding management documents for this area and for the Jazz Timber Sale only identifies 9 acres out of more than 2,000 planned to be logged as actually suitable for timber harvest. 9 acres. So, the big question, why is the Forest Service doing this? So, the Jazz Timber Sale is a symptom of a much larger problem in which Congress and the Forest Service come up with an arbitrary number. In the case of 2013, that number was $560 million of your money that was spent to create the timber sale program in our national forests. It's worth noting that $560 million is over twice as much as what was spent on recreation in our national forests. And what did we get back for it? Well, according to the documents from the Forest Service, we received $127 million back from the logging that happened in our national forests. That's less than a quarter of what we spent preparing sales like Jazz.
I am pleased to announce today that BARC is putting its toe back in to the legal system, and we filed a notice of appeal to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals.
Those were the sounds of a rally held at the foot of Mount Hood today to oppose the Jazz Timber Sale, which would involve large clear cuts in the forest. More information can be found on the website bark-out.org.
A Portland lawyer says she was fired from the Division of Child Support, or DCS, for complaining about frequent racist and sexist remarks at work. Nicole Rose Russell filed a claim with the Bureau of Labor and Industry about DCS, which oversees child support payments. She says workers at DCS use words such as slut and other derogatory terms in reference to single mothers, made racist remarks about Latino families, and once called a gay client a fag. She was told to ignore state rules and deny child support to women deemed, quote, undeserving of child support. Rose Russell alleges that her supervisor gave her no support and ignored her complaints even when her coworkers began to shove her chair and bump into her in the hall. When a coworker backed up her complaints, Human Resources said they would investigate, but Rose Russell was fired soon afterwards. KBOO volunteers have stepped up their game to bring you this locally produced newscast every single evening, and now we're asking you to do the exact same thing. Let's send you over right now to Pledge Central to talk about how you can support KBOO Community Radio.
Hey, hooray, news volunteers. Thanks for stepping up your game.
Yes, and we want you out there listening, stepping up your game by calling 877-500-5266. That's toll-free, 877-500-5266. And help us out.
Help us out like some of the local businesses that have been bringing us food have been helping us out, helping out the volunteers in the back room here. Voodoo Donuts brought a couple of buckets of donuts here. They are at 22 Southwest 3rd Avenue. Paradox Cafe is at 3439 Southeast Belmont. And Porcello's Ristorante and Bar are going to bring in some dinner later for our volunteers there at 6500 Southwest Virginia Avenue. Thank you, each and every one. And if you would like to come down to 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, have a donut and a cup of coffee, you are welcome. And you can bring, maybe you can bring your checkbook or a credit card. You can become a member of KBOO here. You can get any number of thank you gifts that we are delighted to offer you right now. If you have a $60 minimum pledge of support, only $5 a month, you can get a subscription to Yes Magazine. It's a radical but positive magazine, which invites readers to be part of a global community of change makers, just like the folks here at KBOO, just like the volunteers who bring you news every day of the week, every weekday, that is.
Yeah, hey, I'd like to thank Deirdre from Southeast Portland, a new member.
Thank you, Deirdre.
And we'd like you to be our next person we thank. $60, you can also get one of our Flower Tower t-shirts. It's a black t-shirt, it's real stylish. I'm actually wearing one right now. 877-500-5266 for $75, a Democracy Now! T-shirt. You can just
black
wear
and
anywhere.
White, red all over.
Yes, but it only happens when you make that call. We need your support. We don't do it without you. We don't have the advertising. We don't have the big corporations telling us what to do and making us filtering the news through their own lens. We're able to bring you your news. So please call us now.
How many news stories do you where you say ooh? Well, you can't spell KBOO without ooh.
Ooh.
So call toll free 877-500-KBOO. That's 877-500-5266.
Yeah, and that's a toll-free number, or you can do it online, kboo.fm. Donate now is what you click on. And if you're listening to this already on online, you'll see it right there. So why haven't you done it yet? Do it now.
Portland citizens have asked the Multnomah County District Attorney to investigate whether the Bureau of Environmental Services broke the law after the price of a new administrative building tripled in cost. The construction project's original $3.4 million cost ballooned to $12.5 million without city council oversight. The city's architect for the project accepted a job at Skylab Architecture, the company profiting off the new building. At issue is whether the cost overruns for items such as 2,000 chairs and exotic rugs had anything to do with the job offer. Chief petitioners for the Portland Public Water District held a press conference at City Hall this morning and called for the resignation of the Bureau's director, Dean Marriott. The issue with revolving door consultancy has been a consistent theme with the advocates for the Public Water District measure currently on the May primary ballot in Portland.
This afternoon, the Portland City Council heard testimony on a proposed fiber optic network in Portland by the Google Corporation. A number of people testified in support of the proposal, and while a few expressed reservations, no one testified against the Google proposal. Community advocates said that they want to ensure that low-income communities have access to the internet for a reasonable cost. Google came under fire in Kansas City, where it installed a municipal fiber optic network that expanded the digital divide between rich and poor neighborhoods. Here's some of the testimony from this morning.
Mayor, Commissioners, my name is Jason Kirsten. I too am a formerly unhoused, resident of the city. I was also approached by an organization that works with Portland Community Media, and I was taught how to use basic internet classes, which helped me get housing, employment, it taught me to better myself. So this project, I think, will help not only the folks that are in schools, but also help the unhoused community and other folks find gainful employment, find housing. I think the gentleman behind, earlier said, we need to move forward. And this is a way to help everybody, whether they're in the corporate or in the unhoused community. It makes our city a bigger and stronger place. Like we always say, we're a friendly city. I agree with everybody else. I think we need to move forward with this project.
My name is Dunesh Katero. I'm the Portland Community Media Program Coordinator. Program Director. And I'm here representing Portland Community Media. Our mission is to provide technology access for the purpose of having technology and training for the individuals to share their stories for digital inclusion and digital literacy. So these opportunities are at the heart of what we promote. The way I personally see it is that when I was a kid, my family had an Encyclopedia Britannica. I bet you guys had it too. It was everything for my brothers and I. We would look at that every day almost, or every week, all the way till we were in high school. Today, I don't have an Encyclopedia Britannica at home. I have internet, and I cannot imagine my daughters not having access to it. Not in a million years now. 40 years ago, you would not imagine putting 20 volumes encyclopedia in every single household of Portland. But what we could imagine today is to have access to internet and information in every single household of Portland. That's a huge thing for me as I see families and kids. Because even back then when I was a kid, I could see that there was a difference between my family with an encyclopedia and those families without. So today, I could totally dream this big. Not only so people could have access to information to do their homework, but to create content and share stories.
Those were Portland residents testifying about Google's fiber optic proposal. Commissioner Fish and Commissioner Fritz both had questions for the panelists.
So other providers, CenturyLink, Comcast, with respect to their desires to use public right-of-way for the equivalent of fiber huts, they will be accorded the same terms and conditions as we are according to Google?
Yes. Today's franchise agreement is just for the use of the right-of-way, and it outlines the responsibilities for that. Staff is still in the process of working through the details of a fiber hut license.
So when you do reach agreement on a fiber hut license, will those same terms and conditions be available to other franchise holders?
Yes, that's my understanding. And you'll have the opportunity to look at it in more detail as we will be bringing back that license for council consideration.
But
it requires your approval.
I mean, going into these discussions, is mm-hmm. that is our intent, is to be fair to all comers, I guess.
Yes.
Okay.
I would very much like to see a proposal for how we might apportion some of the franchise fees from this franchise to making sure that people can get access. So I'm looking forward to that's coming back. We heard from Ms. Fisher and Mr. Kirsten about how they were helped by Portland Community Media and indeed the commitments from Portland Community Media staff. I'm concerned about the history in Kansas City, where Google has taken market share from existing cable companies, and that would, if it happened here, would have a significant effect on the public education and government, the PEG fee that we currently charge, the 3% fee. So why is Google proposed to be allowed to provide the equivalent of cable TV, the video services, with no PEG fee attached?
Well, as Ben outlined, this is not a cable franchise agreement, and I think it's really a completely different order of magnitude in terms of what this might mean for our community in terms of gigabit to the home. So we were looking at this agreement as a way to begin to fulfill our broadband strategic plan, and it goes a long way. A deployment like this would go a long way towards doing that. What we really have is a regulatory framework that's lagging behind technology innovation. We think that the PEG program is fabulous. It's given many, many benefits to the Portland area, but I don't know that it's going to continue forever. It may not, given some of the proceedings that are currently going on. And I think we need to take our future into our own hands at the local level and fund things that we think are important.
The Portland City Council will hold a vote on the proposed Google Fiber Optic Network on June 11th. They are accepting comments until then at the email address comtech@portlandoregon.gov. In an effort to ease downtown car clogging, the City of Portland is also moving forward with a resolution to revise the Disabled Persons Parking Code. In its regular meeting today, City Council and the Portland Bureau of Transportation discussed the resolution, which will add 80 new disabled parking spaces downtown. It will also eliminate free parking privileges for people with non-wheelchair disabled permits. Those with wheelchair disabled permits will still be able to park for free, per state law. The changes are set to take effect July 1st. The Transportation Bureau says it hopes the changes will improve public access to heavily used downtown areas, address concerns of nearby businesses, and make it easier for those with disabilities to make short trips downtown. The previous rules, which mandated all-day free parking in designated spots for disabled drivers, were supposed to improve disabled citizens' access to downtown Portland. That hasn't quite been the case, says City Councilor Steve Novick.
I'd like to review the reasons for Council's December decision to support the recommendation put forward by my office in concert with PBOT and the Disabled Parking Task Force. Currently, a disabled permit allows unlimited parking without payment in downtown and other metered areas. If you walk outside of City Hall, you will see blocks of cars displaying disabled permits that many of those cars appear to be parked all day. Annual surveys administered by PBOT showed the disabled permit holders account for 11 to 30% of vehicles in heavily used downtown metered areas. Overall, the number of parking spaces with disabled permits has increased over the years to 1 out of 9. And again, many of them appear to stay all day. This privilege has actually led to less availability of parking spaces for people who need it most, including people with disabilities who have a short trip to make downtown. And this practice contrasts with the aim of the Central Business District's short-term parking system, which is to support business vitality.
That was Portland City Councilor Steve Novick. The changes taking effect this summer will clarify the city code and make it easier for everyone to find a parking space downtown, according to PBOT Parking Enforcement Manager Nolan Mackerel.
Parking at a metered space with a regular disabled placard will follow new parking regulations. For example, in any metered space designated 1 hour, 90 minutes, or 2 hours, the vehicle will display a receipt for the payment of the meter time for that block face and will be able to stay in the space for up to 3 hours. For meter lengths 3 hours, 5 hours, and 11 hours, the vehicle would pay for the time parked. For the duration of meters less than 1 hour, the vehicle would follow the parking regulations for that space. Wheelchair users, as Commissioner Novick explained, will be able to continue to park in any meter space 30 minutes or longer without fee or limit by state law.
Citizen Adam Chris told the council that he hopes some of the additional revenue generated from the new parking fees will be allocated for sidewalk improvements and other disability-friendly upgrades to city streets.
I wanted to bring up a point based on the budget that was released. And I think I have a huge concern with the parking that we are going to now be charging, and we are going to get, I assume, this is going to bring in extra revenue for PBOT and for the city. So when I was listening about the budget, I was a little disturbed that I didn't hear that there was any money that was going to be given to sidewalk repairs and access for people with disabilities that do not drive. And one of the things that I think this ordinance will do it I think will take certain, will I think make people not want to necessarily drive down downtown, take more public transportation, and people that live downtown will actually, you know, walk more or roll more down sidewalks and streets. However, if this money that we're generating is not going to fix streets or sidewalks, I kind of am a little disappointed in that. I think some of the people in the community, including myself, was supportive of this ordinance because we had the idea that we thought extra revenue based on this parking ordinance would be going to fixing streets, making more curb cuts.
The city says that the revenue generated will go into the city's general fund, which earmarks money each year for such improvements. Novick says PBOT plans to distribute brochures outlining the changes to every vehicle in the metered district. You're listening to a membership drive special of the KBOO Evening News. Our volunteers work hard every day to bring you this coverage of local, national, and international news. So now it's your turn. Joining us now are Ralph and Conch to talk about how you can support KBOO Community Radio.
Hey there, this is Conch. I'm talking with some of the folks back here who are looking forward to hearing a call from you. And that number to call is toll-free, 877-500-KBOO. 877-500-5266. What do you get when you call? You get the satisfaction of being a member of KBOO, a participating and active member of the community for $5 a month, $10 a month, $20 a month. You also get any number of great little thank you gifts that we've got for you. We've got your subscription to Yes Magazine is available, the quarterly magazine published by the Positive Futures Network. There's some incredible work from around the world that goes into that, that tells you how to get out there and be active and to connect with folks in your community and in your affinity groups, in your infinity groups too. What the heck? But this is similar to what KBOO does here. KBOO is your place on the broadcast dial and on the web at kboo.fm, where people get together. People who have different interests, but people who have similar ideals, which is to get the community out there, the independent news, the independent public affairs, the independent music, get that out there and get that spread around, you know, to where people can appreciate it and support it together. So there's a lot of ways to support that kind of efforts, to keep the lights on, to keep the equipment going, to keep it from breaking down, to keep people coming in the doors, to keep expanding into the web, into the mobile arena, all of this great content, all of this great mission that we have here at KBOO. The best way to do it, though, is to pick up your phone and dial those numbers, 877-500-KBOO. That's 877-500-5266.
And you can also come down to 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, in between Burnside and Ankeny, 8 Southeast
8th. We have some birthday cake, don't we?
Yeah, we got some birthday cake. If you come down in the next half hour or so, you probably can get a slice of birthday cake. KBOO.fm is the other way you can do this and donate now. But really, this is your radio station, and it doesn't happen without your support. We need $60, $80, $120, whatever you can afford. We'll take no donation, large or small, is we'll take any donation, large or small. We need your support. We can you can just, you know, give us the money up front, or you can just give us, $10, $5 a month. We can do that on a, you know, out of your bank account or credit debit card, but it will not happen. Or you can just put the whole thing on a credit card. It will not happen until you make that phone call. 1-877-500-5266. That's a toll-free number, 877-500-5266. Show your support. Show us what that you care about what you're listening to and that you want to keep this thing going, because it will not happen without you. So give us a call right now, 877-500-5266 or kboo.fm. Donate now. And we're going to go back to the evening news.
A group of protesters gathered at the office of Portland Mayor Charlie Hales today to demand that the city reveal how much money the Providence Healthcare Company paid for the naming rights to the Timber Stadium. For more, KBOO's Nick Porter spoke with one of the organizers of the campaign.
What do you see as the main problem with Providence in particular paying an undisclosed amount like this to have their name, just to have their name on the field?
Well, the biggest problem is that it's money that we pay for premium that should be going towards patient care, and it's not going towards patient care. So we believe that healthcare is a human right, that people should be able to have it without worrying about deductibles or co-pays or premiums, and Healthcare for All Oregon is fighting for that. But when you have to pay for these things and then pay for advertising, because insurance companies are competitive, they want our business, then that takes the money away from healthcare.
And you said that Moda Healthcare paid $40 million to have
$40 million
to have their name on the Rose Quarter Stadium. Do you think Providence paid a similar amount for the same thing?
Well, we want to know what they're hiding. We're guessing it was at least near that amount, if not more. So we want to know, and we know the city has the information. It's a matter of the mayor getting it for us.
And that could go a long way for other causes rather than just their
exactly.
Getting their name out there.
We feel the money should be going to patients. The money should be going to healthcare. And with a system where healthcare is available to all, a single payer or Medicare for All system or whatever you'd like to call it, it's a system where it's publicly funded and privately delivered.
What kind of response would you like to see from the city for these protests in particular?
Sorry, what kind of response would we like? Is that what you're saying?
Right, yeah.
We would like the mayor to meet with us and disclose the amount. That's, we feel, is public record.
Mm-hmm. And
we know he has it. If he doesn't have it, he has access to it. The chief administrative officer for the city has that information, and so we know the mayor can get it.
And again, how was the reception today? With how were you received today in submitting this letter?
How was our reception at the city hall?
Yeah.
Well, basically, they just said that they have to call us to make an appointment, and they will do that hopefully within a week, maybe longer. So we feel like we're being given a runaround a little bit. We're going to follow up. We're going to call them and, you know, keep trying to get that appointment. But we're also going to think about how else we can pressure the city to get the money, to get the money amount.
I've been speaking with Lisa Stiller with Healthcare for All Oregon. This is Nick Porter with KBOO News.
The FBI has launched a preliminary investigation into Cover Oregon, the state of Oregon's rollout of the Affordable Care Act, known as Obamacare. This brings to three the number of federal agencies investigating Oregon's spending of almost $250 million for a medical exchange system that has failed to work. Oracle, the main programmer on the project, has stated it would cost another $78 million to make the system functional. Instead, the state of Oregon has decided to use the federal system at a cost of $5 million. An assessment by the Kitzhaber administration assigned blame to both Oracle and the state of Oregon. Critics of Kitzhaber point to Cover Oregon's $248 million tab as yet another example of wasteful spending. His administration also spent $200 million on the Columbia River crossing, the failed attempt to build a new bridge over the Columbia River to Vancouver. The Democratic governor now faces a tough re-election campaign. Seen as a strong favorite to win an unprecedented fourth term as governor of Oregon, new polls show the race to be tied between Kitzhaber and his likely Republican opponent, State Representative Dennis Richardson.
Take you for a ride, hello, my
listening to an hour-long membership drive special of the KBOO Evening News. We'd like to remind you that you can call to renew your KBOO membership or to become a brand new member at any time during this program by calling 877-500-5266. Stay tuned for a special program on internet security and how to protect yourself from NSA snooping, hosted by KBOO's Chris Andre at 6 o'clock. Then at 7 o'clock, it's Hard Knock Radio, news and views from a hip-hop perspective. Tomorrow's weather should be rainy with a high of 58. On this day in history, today we remember Russian physicist Alexander Popov, also known as the other father of the radio. 5 years before Marconi patented his wireless telegraph, Popov had invented a receiver capable of detecting electromagnetic waves that indicated the presence of electrical discharges in the atmosphere. On May 7, 1895, Alexander Popov presented his radio receiver to the Russian Physical and Chemical Society and performed a public demonstration of transmission and reception of radio waves used for communication. May 7th is celebrated in Russia as Radio Day. Also, Nikola Tesla, the scientist who invented AC current, fluorescent bulbs, radar, and numerous other advancements, also invented a radio wave around the same time as Popov. In 1900, the radio saved hundreds of lives when it was used for the first time to launch a rescue mission for a ship at sea in distress. Radio broadcasting continues to be the go-to source of information in times of emergency when other forms of media are unavailable. Hint, hint.
With that in mind, now is your chance to show support for the work our volunteers put in to bring you this newscast, rain or shine, every weekday throughout the year. Joining us now, again, are Ralph and Conch to talk about how you can support KBOO Community Radio.
Yes, happy Radio Day, comrades. My name's Ralph, and I'm here with Conch.
Hi, Ralph.
My name's Rolf. It's 877-500-5266 is the phone number you want to call to help contribute to keeping this station running. 877-500-5266. It's toll free. And
when you call with a $75 pledge of support, that's only $6.25 per month, you can take away this fantastic USB flash drive, which has many gigs worth of amazing programming. We have a number of speakers who are still with us and some who are not, including Winona LaDuke, Vandana Shiva, Eldridge Cleaver, Dick Gregory, Daniel Berrigan, Paul Robeson, Molly Ivins, Bell Hooks.
Right, you're basically getting dozens upon dozens of hours of audio files that you can listen to.
Plus, there's going to be a whole bunch of programming that, we did today's programming, A Way Forward for Israel-Palestine. That is all on there, along with our Friday News and Public Affairs Day, Fighting the Neoliberal Agenda. Shama Sawant, the new Socialist City Council member in Seattle, is on there. Saving Main Street from Wall Street, John Nichols on Dollarocracy. We've got Dismantling the Prison Industrial Complex, which you'll hear on the 13th here on KBOO. But even better than that, even better than the three full albums of David Rovick's music, is a folder of open source software, your internet security toolkit, which provides a way to browse anonymously. Amazing stuff for a $75 pledge of support when you call toll free 877-500-KBOO.
Yes, and you can also donate online at kboo.fm and click on donate now. But the number is 877-500-5266 to support this non-commercial, non-profit, community-based radio station.
Volunteer-powered.
It's volunteer-powered, and it's contributor-owned. It's owned by the people and not by the big corporations. So do your part. Give us whatever you can afford, $50, $80, maybe it's just $10 a month. You can always find $5, $10 a month, but you cannot do this until you make that phone call. 877-500-5266. Call now, 877-500-5266, and support the local KBOO, our local news
producers and reporters.
I mean, it takes a lot of work to put together a news broadcast like this every single night, five nights a week. And so we cannot do it without your help. So give us a call now.
And now back to the news.
It is 5:39. Time now for daily commentary from Jim Hightower.
Imagine a headline blaring, "An army of 1,500 lobbyists swarms Capitol Hill." But that wouldn't be news since it happens every day. In fact, an occupying army of Gucci-clad corporate lobbyists is permanently encamped in Washington, numbering not a mere 1,500, but more than 12,000. Yes, that works out to nearly 22 lobbyists for every member of the House and Senate. And they come armed with explosive levels of campaign cash to keep lawmakers towing the corporate line. Yet, on April 28, the headline I mentioned should have been a news story, for on that Monday, our corporate coddling Congress critters were startled to be greeted by a very different army of lobbyists. This one did not come from the infamous K Street corridor of corporate lobbying firms, but from your town and mine, armed with a decidedly uncorporate agenda. They're part of a growing majority of Americans who've been knocked down by the low-wage economy and intentional inequality being imposed on working and non-working families by Wall Street, corporate chieftains, and their congressional enablers. To the surprise of those clueless elites, however, workaday Americans, even the lowest paid and supposedly least powerful, are not going to be passively herded into that plutocratic future. To the contrary, they've been organizing, strategizing, and mobilizing. And the April contingent of 1,500 that went to Congress as the populist lobby are members of three fast-growing grassroots groups: National People's Action, National Domestic Workers Alliance, and the Restaurant Opportunities Center. This is Jim Hightower saying, even a dog knows the difference between being stumbled over and being kicked. People know they're being kicked, and they're simply not going to take it. To keep up with or join the grassroots rebellion, go to www.npa-us.org.
To get more of Jim Hightower's populist take on what Wall Street and Washington are up to, visit www.hightowerlowdown.org.
TriMet is unwilling to release their maintenance and repair records for the transit system's 4,400 security cameras to KATU because the agency considers the documents to be sensitive security information. Under the Homeland Security Act, only a handful of people can view sensitive security information. KATU filed a petition requesting that Multnomah County District Attorney Rod Underhill order the release of the records. KATU is trying to find out how TriMet is keeping information from the public regarding how well the taxpayer-funded security cameras are being maintained. On Tuesday, Underhill denied KATU's request, arguing that the records are sensitive and could be used to put the system at risk. According to Homeland Security, Multnomah County District Attorney Rod Underhill and KATU do not have clearance to view the records. KATU News Director Tiffany Lupinski said the station continues to appeal for the TSA to release the records, adding that KATU would be satisfied with records that redact information revealing the location of problematic cameras. In October, investigative reporting group Publicola reported that 15% of the security cameras on the King County Metro in Seattle were inoperable. That included two cameras that failed to record the gunman who shot Seattle bus driver Delroy Dupuy last summer. TriMet's reps said they had reached out to the TSA for their expertise and guidance before granting access to the records, but the agency said that because the records were deemed sensitive security information, federal law prohibits TriMet from disclosing the documents to unauthorized parties.
Militant Islamist group known as Boko Haram has just attacked another village in northern Nigeria, taking the lives of nearly 300 people. Boko Haram is a radical Islamist group which has denounced any Western influence in Nigeria, founded as an Islamic school in 2002. The militant group has called for Nigeria to become an Islamic state and has spoken of its intent to bring about this by any means necessary. Over the course of the past few years, Boko Haram has attacked government buildings, churches, and towns, killing thousands of people. The Nigerian government is spread thin in their search for over 200 girls kidnapped by Boko Haram last week, and the soldiers based in the area of this most recent attack have been sent away as part of the effort to find the kidnapped girls. The Nigerian administration has been criticized for its handling of the struggle with Boko Haram, both locally and internationally. The country's recent acceptance of international reinforcements has also led some to say that Nigerian government is no longer able to control the situation.
And now, the latest news and developments from the occupied territories in Palestine from the International Middle East Media Center in Bethlehem.
Welcome to Palestine Today, a service of the International Middle East Media Center at www.imemc.org for Wednesday, May 7th, 2014. Israeli Navy attacked Palestinian fishermen near Gaza City, injuring two. Meanwhile, Israeli troops invade West Bank communities and kidnap civilians. These stories and more coming up. Stay tuned. Two Palestinian fishermen were injured on Wednesday after Israeli Navy boats chased Palestinian fishing boats in territorial waters west of Gaza City. Local sources said that the two fishermen of Becker family suffered mild to moderate wounds and were moved to Shifa Medical Center. Witnesses said that Navy boats fired rounds of live ammunition and water bombs, causing high waves resulting in collision between two fishing boats. Earlier in the week, Israeli soldiers assaulted several Palestinian fishing boats and fishermen, causing injuries and damage to the boats and fishing nets. Under the Oslo Accords of the mid-90s, the Palestinians are supposed to be allowed to fish within 20 nautical miles of the Gaza shore, but Tel Aviv has constantly violated the agreement. Also in Gaza today, the Hamas-run authorities have executed two men after finding them guilty of collaboration with the Israeli military. The Ministry of Interior said in a statement that the death sentence was carried out against collaborators PK by shooting and GT by hanging after they were convicted of collaborating with hostile entities and treason. Both men had allegedly acted in cooperation with the Israeli occupation for over 9 years, during which they provided intelligence to military, leading to the killing and injury of various Palestinian resistance fighters, the destruction of metal workshops, and recruiting of other collaborators. Elsewhere on Wednesday, local sources in the southern West Bank city of Hebron have reported that Israeli soldiers invaded Halhul and Idna towns, break into and sear several homes, and kidnapped 4 Palestinians. Meanwhile, another 4 civilians were kidnapped from the southern West Bank city of Bethlehem during army invasion targeting the city and nearby towns. Moreover, 6 civilians were kidnapped by Israeli troops who invaded and searched homes in the northern West Bank city of Jenin on Wednesday at dawn. And that's all for today from the IMEMC News. This was the Wednesday, May 7th, 2014, news roundup from the occupied Palestinian territories. For more news and updates, please visit our website at www.imemc.org. Today's report has been brought to you by George Shmawi, Amni, Ghassan Bannoura.
You are listening to an hour-long membership drive special of the KBOO Evening News. This is a volunteer-produced newscast, and we encourage your participation. Call us with your breaking news stories at 503-231-8032. Our production team for tonight's newscast is Merrick Bonner, Paul Roland, Yana Maximova, David Lessem, Nick Porter, Sam Booman, and Aaron Bernard. Special thanks to Sequoia Wright. Our engineer is Ian Westmoreland. The KBOO Evening News and Public Affairs Director is Jenka Soderberg. A podcast of this newscast is available on our website at kboo.fm/eveningnews. You are listening to KBOO at 90.7 FM in Portland, in Philomath on translator K282BH at 104.3 FM, and in Hood River at 91.9 FM on translator K220HR. I'm Brian Pritchett.
And I'm Aaron J. Bernard. Coming up tomorrow morning on KBOO, at 7, it's Democracy Now! With journalists Amy Goodman and Juan Gonzalez. At 8 on Voices from the Edge, host Joanne Hardesty speaks with economic justice activist, sociologist, and author Betsy Leondar Wright about her new book, Missing Class, How Seeing Class Cultures Can Strengthen Social Movement Groups. At 9, Teresa Mitchell hosts Press Watch, The News You're Not Supposed to Know. At 9:30 on A Deeper Look, host Linda Olson Osterlund interviews Josh Vital, co-author of A Sliver of Light, Three Americans Imprisoned in Iran. At 10, Chris Andre hosts Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary. At 10:15, it's Flashpoints, investigative news radio with host Dennis Bernstein. At 11, on Between the Covers, host Leanne Krantz speaks with Mount Hood Community College faculty members Lydia Yuknovich, Michelle Hampton, and Andy Gurevich about Writing the Body, workshops and readings by Kimberly Dark and Christopher Ryan. And at 11:30, it's Words and Pictures with SW Concert, hosting conversations with pioneering animators and comics artists. All right, folks, now is your chance to show your support for the work our volunteers do to bring you this fantastic newscast, rain or shine, every weekday throughout the year. We're going to head back now to Rolf, not Ralph, and Conch to talk about how you can support KBOO Community Radio.
Yes, you can do that by calling.
Yes, that number to call is toll-free 877-500-KBOO. That's 877-500-5266. I'm Conch. I'm here with Rolf. And we're here to get you to give your support to the KBOO News, to the many volunteers who have researched and gone out in the field and brought back the news, edited it, and produced it. You know, there's not just stories that KBOO News has come up with first. There's stories that we report exclusively. Some of those are Alec, exposed as the author of the Monsanto Protection Act in Oregon. That's the American Legislative Exchange Council. There's a series of live reports we've been running from the Megalode protests in rural Oregon, led by members of the Confederated Tribes of the Umatilla. There's weekly updates from Portland City Council meetings, including updates on the Right to Dream 2 houseless rest area, the struggle to maintain Portland's open reservoirs, and the use of force guidelines for the Portland police. So, you know, every day, KBOO News brings you investigations, exclusive stories about your community, empowering you to make a difference in the place where you live. You know, there's so many other places that don't have an outlet like KBOO, a media outlet at all, print or broadcast, that the people just really kind of don't have that information to work with.
Yes, so please call 877-500-5266. That's toll free, 877-500-5266, contribute what you can afford.
You know, when it's now it's getting to be t-shirt weather, you might like to give a $60 pledge of support. That's only $5 a month, and get a Flower Tower t-shirt. It's on union made black t-shirt. It's a white design with a broadcast tower with flowers on it, designed by Chris Andre. Or for $75 pledge of support, 6 1/4 per month, you can get a Democracy Now t-shirt, black and white and red all over, with the Democracy Now! Logo on front, with democracynow.org on the back. It will be the talk of the town when you read it, you know, when you wear it, rather. You know, Democracy Now!, one of the very few TV shows that really bring important, groundbreaking stories to the media. We run it on the audio portion on the radio. They have folks from all around the world. This is the sort of amazing show that you might catch on a European or a Canadian broadcast, but really not on this broadcast. And here in the U.S., with print media reporters losing their jobs at an extremely rapid pace, you know, you've turned to KBOO to provide virtually the only original reporting about issues in our community and around the globe.
Yes, and so you can make that call, 877-500-5266. It's toll-free. And think about how much KBOO means to you in your life. Every day, bringing you news, public affairs, all this stuff that you will not hear on other radio dials, and then the variety of music that we bring you each week. You could probably listen to a whole week of music and not hear a single thing twice, and you're hearing such a variety of stuff. The people come in here and they volunteer. They do this out of the love of bringing you the news and you know, the trying to bring you the truth and not this corporate filtered stuff that's kind of a distortion of the truth. But we need your help to do this. 1-877-500-5266. You know, $40, $60, whatever you can afford. You can put it on a credit card. You can we can send you a bill for it. You could do a, something where we take $5 or $10 out of your bank account or on your credit card every month. You know, however you want to do it, we'll work with you because we are your radio station. We are. If you become an owner of KBOO when you with your donation, and it's tax deductible. Next year, when you're doing your taxes, you'll get to take that off and pay the IRS a little bit less. So, please make that call 1-877-500-5266. Toll free 1-877-500-5266.
We'd like to thank Chris in Beaverton for renewing. Becoming a renewing member of KBOO. Thank you so much, Chris. You can be another person that we give a ding to when you call in and you make those bells ring at 877-500-KBOO. We have volunteers back here on the phones who are all too happy to tell you all the options that you have. We can now do monthly deductions on credit and debit cards if you like. We've been doing monthly deductions, $5 or $10 or $20 a month on checking accounts, but now we can do that on credit and debit cards if you'd prefer to do it that way. We can also have you walk in at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue. Have a bite of birthday cake while you have it.
Yeah, and a donut.
And a donut, coffee, whatever. You can drop in with your check, with your cash, and maybe pick out a thank you gift, such as a one-year subscription to Yes Magazine for a $60 pledge of support. That's a great idea, too. It's a very positive, radical magazine that has great ideas and contributions from people around the country, from other communities as well as our own. So we want to make sure that you have all the options that you need. You can put everything at a credit card on a credit card all at once. That's a good way to get a ticket. We have a whole binder full of amazing shows that are coming up, music shows, lectures, events that are happening at the big venues and small venues around town. So that's a great thing to do. Drop in at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, hang around a little bit. But really the best thing to do, the easiest thing to do, is just hang onto your phone device with one hand and hit the button with the other fingers, and those numbers are toll-free, 877-500-KBOO, 877-500-5266.
Yes, make that phone call now. We're going to pretty soon go back to the evening news, but we need your support. If you've been tuning in to KBOO and you haven't... You haven't contributed before, it's very easy, and you'll be really glad you did. If you're one of our previous people, you know, that's already given money, give us a little more. We can really use it right now.
Or get a gift membership for a friend or
get
a relative.
Get a gift.
Mother's Day's coming up,
and
right?
Mother's Day's coming up this Sunday, so please make that call. 877-500-5266. That's a toll-free number, 877-500-5266. You can also go online, kboo.fm, and click on donate now, but it doesn't happen until you make that call. Until you make
get
that
mom
process.
A Flower Tower t-shirt.
Yes, get your mom a Democracy Now t-shirt. I mean, I bet my mom would love a Democracy Now t-shirt. And
when you call 877-500-KBOO. So we're going to head back, and we're going to hear a little bit more of news and public affairs here on KBOO, but we want you to keep calling. Keep calling.
Now.
Toll free, 877-500-5266.
All right.
You are listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM Portland, 91.9 FM Hood River in the Gorge, 104.3 FM Philomath and Corvallis. Up next, a KBOO special on internet security.
To celebrate our spring membership drive, KBOO is proud to partner with Hopworks Urban Brewery to introduce the British Invasion IPA. Hopworks, an eco-brew pub offering sustainable organic beers, will have the British Invasion IPA on tap during our spring membership drive at both hub locations, 2944 Southeast Powell and 3947 North Williams in Portland. You can learn more about what the Hopworks British Invasion IPA means for KBOO at kboo.fm/IPA.
This program is made possible in part by KABU Foundation members and a grant from Radio Cab, serving the metro area since 1946 with service 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. Radio Cab offers airport service, wheelchair-accessible vans, and can be reached at 503-227-1212. In Vancouver at 360-694-1234 or radiocab.net.
Is this machine recording? Is this machine recording? Is this machine recording?
This year marks the 100th anniversary of the birth of a great American writer, that chronicler of madness, William S. Burroughs. Tune into KABU this Friday night beginning at 8 p.m. for a Spring Pledge Drive special, 4-hour tribute to the life and work of William S. Burroughs. Join DJs Rich of Radio Lost and Found, Jim Lawrence of No Soap Radio, and Daniel, host of The Outside World, for a special collaboration, chock full of the world of William S. Burroughs, including biographical stories, cut-ups, and random surprises in the collage style that Burroughs himself became known for pioneering. That's this Friday night from 8 p.m. till midnight, a special 100th anniversary tribute to William S. Burroughs, here on Community Inner Zone Radio, KBOO Portland.
Whatever you feed into the machine on subliminal level, the machine will process.
KABU at the Clinton, every second Thursday at 7 p.m. This month, KABU is proud to show the documentary Queen of the Sun, What Are the Bees Telling Us? The film is an alternative look at the global bee crisis. Before the film will be a short discussion with bee experts on how to help save the bees. That's Thursday, May 8th, 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.